snake. Like, bottom line, Rick Pitino is a snake. I don't know why you would want to play for him. I don't know why you would want him in your city. Now, as far as Marvin Menzies goes, I'm with you, Steve. I would like to see one more year out of Menzies. Give him that fourth year. And also, it's not like this season has been abysmal. The real issue is, yes, they're above 500 in Mountain West play. Yes, they're above 500 overall. I think the problem is, are the very similar to the Knights, that you can play and keep up with decent teams on some nights, and then you can get blown out by 18, 20 by other teams. And I think that's where the frustration builds. We talk about the fan base. They're there. They just want to see their team be consistent and competitive on some level, so that when they go to a game, they know they're watching something in the future, whether a potential tournament bid or something more down the line. And I think Marvin Menzies right now gives them the best chance, because if you're telling me it's Marvin Menzies or Rick Pitino, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. It's Marvin Menzies all stinking day.
More on UNLV and the season, where it is right now. More Pitino rumors that's coming up in the latter part of the 5 o'clock hour as we are joined by Mike Romala down the stretch. We'll get back to some of the latest on Manny Machado. If you did not hear, 10 years, $300 million to the Padres.
Cofield and Company will be back in 90 seconds. Keep it here on ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield.
Oh, good for you!
And Ryan McKinnell.
Oh, I don't think I'm a lot dumber than you thought that I think that I thought I was once.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you. And I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
4 o'clock hour is here. Just got done spending a few minutes on the latest Rick Pitino rumors for a job that is not open. UNLV basketball playing tonight, 7 o'clock. Marvin Menzies and company trying to take out Wyoming, a very beat-up Wyoming team. One other thing I forgot to mention, people really running with the Pitino stuff and having fun with it. Did you see the social media post with it's a very crude Photoshop photo altering? I don't know if you remember when Louisville won the national championship, Pitino promised to get a tattoo on his back.
I do.
So he has a big L in, I don't know, what is that, Old English?
Yeah.
On his back. And someone then put a UN and, well, before the L, and a V after, as if you would have a UNLV tattoo.
Okay, the idea that people would be excited about Rick Pitino coming to their city, Las Vegas or not, it's just... Yep. It's really thick to me in the sense that you know what you're getting. It's not like, oh, well, you can't play devil's advocate, or maybe he didn't know, or maybe... No, it's a track record mm-hmm. of Rick Pitino being a scumbag, and then you are openly endorsing a scumbag under the guise of maybe you get 10 extra wins, and I hate it. It's gross.
Manny Machado is a Padre. Shocking to many. 10 years, $300 million.
Woo!
You know, one thing people don't talk about in terms of the size of the deal, you do realize in a sport like baseball where you can pay what you want, and there's a luxury threshold, but the Padres are nowhere near that. And we should mention again, the Padres just signed a guy for $30 million. Their payroll now is $110 million. They're just inside the top 20 in all of baseball, so they can afford Manny Machado. But, you know, part of paying players in California, you do have to factor in the state tax rate, which is absurd. Now, here's the key on Machado. My guess is he's not going to live in California. That will not be his place of residence. If he chose to do that, he'd actually be dinged about $3.9 million every year in state taxes just to California. So that is one thing to remember. If you see a team in California, especially a baseball team, overpay, some of that has to do with the fact that California taxes are ridiculous. Now, here's the case, according to this guy's excellent, Sports Tax Man. It's a dude who's kind of branded himself the tax expert. I think he's a Long Island guy or a Brooklyn guy. But it sounds like Machado will actually claim Florida residency, which is brilliant because Florida doesn't have state income tax.
Yeah, and it's something about when he claims that residency in Florida. I don't think he can get around at least
Well, he has to pay chalk tax.
Right.
So when he goes from state to state, he's got to pay their local tax.
Right. But the idea is, at least my understanding is, that whoever was going to sign Machado already knew how they were going to do it in terms of their signing bonus.
Okay.
Because the signing bonus isn't taxable.
Since
he's a resident of Florida, the signing bonus sits inside of Florida. Yes, the deal that he's signing in San Diego is a California deal, but the signing bonus part of it is apparently under Florida tax law, whatever you want to call it, so he doesn't get dinged for that. So it's my understanding that the Padres are going to make up, or they made a promise to him that he would get that money on the back end. What he would be losing in the 13% tax in California, he'd be making up for. They would be making up for it in the untaxable signing bonus that he's going to be getting when he signs in Florida.
Wow. So again, though, supposedly a small market cash poor team is actually going to pay even more up front. They have the cash on hand to pay a signing bonus.
Exactly.
Very, very interesting. And the reason to be excited, you know, like we were saying roughly 45 minutes ago, the Padres are not going to instantly turn into a giant winner. We'll have the updated numbers on the boards here in like 45 minutes. But there's a sense of excitement. I don't know if he was joking or not. Rosh Marchese said that, talking to some of his San Diego friends who do sports talk radio, that fans were calling in and crying. I don't know if that's happening.
Well,
but very seldom do Padres fans have a chance to be fired up about what's going on. And keep in mind, San Diego's totally changed as a sports market. Without the Chargers, the NFL is so gigantic. I mean, it's the Padres or bust. And a lot of times on local sports talk radio, I'm seeing them, you know, going gaga over the fleet and the AAF, which, by the way, we'll have information on that. That got real interesting this morning with some stuff about payroll issues and a large infusion of cash. But, yeah, they're into freaking lacrosse. They're building a soccer stadium. San Diego State now gets more coverage than I've ever seen them get on sports talk radio. The Padres have missed the playoffs, Ryan, for 12 consecutive seasons. They were also terrible last year offensively, 28th in baseball, under 4 runs a game. At some point, you do have to factor in, and especially in an era where we're seeing almost everyone get hit at the gate in terms of attendance, you got to do something to ensure that people are going to be there, that people are excited, that you've got something to sell.
Yeah, this is one of the, if not the biggest day for the San Diego Padres, it's one of the biggest days, because you brought it up, the landscape of sports in Chicago has shifted. 12 seasons of not making the playoffs. You are a terrible franchise. A player like Manny Machado has got to be out of his mind to sign with a franchise like that if he cares about winning, but he did. And if you are a San Diego Padres fan, dare I say a San Diego Padres season ticket holder, yeah, you probably are crying, because you never thought this day was going to happen. Now it has. So we were just talking about potential, about possibility, about what it means for UNLV to have an empty stadium, and how people would just show up if you gave them a promise of the future, if you gave them something to look at and focus on, right? This is that for the San Diego Padres. Manny Machado coming in, not only does it make you interested for this season, it makes you interested for the next 20, long beyond Manny Machado being gone from this franchise, because he gave you that stamp of approval. So now your imagination can run wild. Well, who else do they sign? There's obviously names on the free agent market. We're going to be getting to that here shortly. But 10 years from now, 15 years from now, do they look back and do they say, the day that Manny Machado signed with the San Diego Padres, that was the day of validation. February 19th, 2019. That was the day everything changed for Chicago sports. I don't think that's outside
the
San Diego. Yeah, excuse me, San Diego sports. I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility.
You had a good question before the show. Is there another player in any sport that you would offer $300 million to for 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, guaranteed. That gets a little bit tricky. I think there's obviously some baseball guys. Mike Trout would be one, obviously a no-brainer. But if it's not guaranteed, I'd still do it with Tom Brady right now. Yeah, I'd give him $30 million a year to sell until he decided not to play anymore.
Let's stick to the parameters.
Yeah, guaranteed.
It has to be a 10-year deal.
Yeah.
Because, and in the NBA, there really aren't 10-year deals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's stick to the parameter of 10-year deal for $300. So it kind of crosses out. Well, does it cross out the NFL? Because there's actually only one player I can think of this outside of baseball period. Is there an NBA player?
Giannis. I'd give Giannis $40 million. I'd give him 10 years, $400 million right now.
All right. Yeah. All right. Giannis is one.
Yep.
The other one, that would be Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's early.
Yeah, that's why, though.
You don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
But really, anyone who's in their 30s in the NFL, you can't do it.
No.
Anyone who doesn't play quarterback, you really can't do it. You can't do it for a running back. So, yeah, Pat Mahomes might be the one guy in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone else in
the
NBA?
I was just going to say, Giannis might be the one guy in the NBA. Like, maybe Ben Simmons. Like, and even then, I can't say I would make
that
stretch.
Would you do it for Anthony Davis?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
I think you'd have to seriously consider it. I think there's always worries when you're talking about a large 7-footer like that in terms of like the Greg Oden effect or mm-hmm. take your pick, right? 7-footers tend to break down at some point. Certainly not a it's not a guarantee, but you know, Giannis is a 7-footer, obviously a different type of 7-footer, but he's a 7-footer. I'd have to say I'd give AD that money. And
if the money existed, because it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's outside the big three. It's more of a niche sport. If the money existed in the NHL, who would be the guy?
Connor McDavid, no brainer.
And what was his deal for?
I want to say he's at 11.
Okay.
But you know what? He might be on the, actually, he might be lower than that, and he's on the verge. I don't know what his contract structure is. The NHL is weird. And as you said, the money isn't there in the way it is in other sports. I think I would definitely lean towards a Connor McDavid. You see what Kucherov is doing this year. I think Kucherov is only 26, 27. I would definitely consider him being in that category. But it's thin. It's slim pickings, for sure. It's a very exclusive club when you talk about youth, right? And that potential being there so early, it just that type of potential doesn't happen. I think there's a couple in baseball, but we're staying outside of baseball, right?
So, well, yes, we mentioned the baseball. Okay. The Harper is going to get it next, and we'll get to Harper in the 5 o'clock hour, and probably Mike Trout.
You got to think Chris Bryant would be worth 10 and 300, yeah?
No.
No. Okay. Injury concerns?
Last year scares me.
Okay.
Yeah, last year scares
That's
me.
That's fair. So, I would say Kucherov and McDavid. I just looked. Kucherov is 25 years old. I would, in a heartbeat, give Nikita Kucherov, yes, 10 and 300.
So think about this. We'll get you an update on what just happened today with the AAF. The Padres just bought Manny Machado for $300 million. The owner of the Hurricanes just bought an entire league for $250 million.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
One-on-one, picks up the first down. Paul Cofici never saw the man coming, and he is lit up. My goodness. Sean Washington with the stick.
Wow, he was completely blindsided. He had no idea.
AAF action there, courtesy of CBS. A reminder, tomorrow, ESPN Las Vegas on the scene at Pizza Rock. We're getting you ready for a 7 o'clock start against the Boston Bruins. Happy hour goes down from 3 to 6. You got personal pizzas, $5, $7, and $8. Drinks and food start as low as $4. $4 on the PBR, $4 on the delicious Tony G meatballs. And if you go in there during the game, 7 o'clock starts, spend $10, and the first beer is free. On Pizza Rock, it's Pizza Rock at Green Valley Ranch, ESPN Las Vegas, out there tomorrow as the Knights will be hosting the Boston Bruins. We'll get into a little more hockey here in 10 minutes during What's Trending, but you heard the AAF on the way back. Weird, weird morning and afternoon for this fledgling football league, Ryan McKinnell. One, we read reports that the AAF missed payroll in week one. What?
Whoops.
The excuse, at least as reported by sweetheart business expert Darren Revell.
Your buddy.
He says the league told agents that it was a glitch with switching to a new administrator.
Okay.
That sounds like a terrible excuse.
Yeah, you had 2 years. Yeah, I don't know what
they switched.
What do you want me to say?
They switched week one? Come on, AAF.
Yeah.
And then, well, this is where it gets really curious. Is the league having money problems or not? Then we hear that the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, rich dude, Tom Dundon, maybe a Chrissy target, okay, just invested $250 million into the AAF, which essentially makes him the owner of the league. That, my friend, is a wild morning and afternoon for any sports league.
Tom Dundon now owns 8 developmental league teams. So if you're looking, hey, if you're looking for a football team, holler at Tom Dundon. He's got the hookup.
I don't listen. I'm not worth, you know, billions like this guy is. Ew. I can't imagine he's a moron. I actually think the AAF has a bright future.
Yep.
And I think it is a league that really can make money with TV partnerships and advertising. And I think the NFL, aside from actually investing itself in this new football league, wants the league to work. So that's a massive positive as compared to any other league that's tried in the past. But we got to do more research on this.
Well,
was this? Did they not have enough money to get through like 3 weeks? Did they have some sort of like, hey, we got a month to get someone to invest in this thing, or we're screwed? Doesn't it kind of seem like that?
It does, but I guess I will. Does it matter? Like,
they got the money.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they got the money. They need. I mean. A rich guy can go a long way, right? And you just got $250 million. I think we've talked about this. The product on the field is at a pretty decent level. It's certainly much better than 20 years ago in the XFL that we've seen. It's better than the Arena Football League, as far as I can tell. Not that I watch a ton of CFL or Arena Football League, but my point is the TV product looked clean. The on-field product looked clean. They got through that first week of interest being just that genuine curiosity, and I think now they're dealing with a little bit of a fallout off in terms of viewership, so now it's on to the star building process. Have to tell the stories, get people in. But here's the real kicker, and something that you talked about. You think they can be successful through lucrative television deals and content deals, and I absolutely agree.
As advertising,
as streaming continues, and as we cut the cords, and as society changes in the way we consume our content, these streaming providers, these TV stations, everybody, the cable, everybody is going to be looking for specifically live content. Live content is the key going into the next couple decades. So the AAF, on that standpoint, they have a visually appealing product. They have a partnership, you know, air quotes, with the NFL. This is a developmental league, and they have the content. So now they've got all those backed with $250 million. I don't think Dundon, who, as you said, we don't know him, but we'd like to think if you've gotten to that point in your career, you own a major league sports franchise, you've got to be a fairly competent individual. I don't think you would just be throwing in $250 million because you want, this is a good guy, I'm going to throw him a bone, or this is a good league, I got a decent feeling about this, and if it doesn't work out, so be it. No, this is definitely an investment from a guy who I'm assuming is pretty good with his investments in a league that he sees a future in. So for a couple standpoints, number one, you got the money, so that's a great thing. And number two, I know people are kind of looking at this, there's a lot of questions, it's a little bit of a laugh factor. You're 2-3 weeks in and you need $250 million. The point is you got it. And another point is people are talking about you, right? Yep. If it bleeds, it leads. It's the only oldest, you know, story in, or the oldest rule in journalism, right? So I think this is a good thing no matter how you look at it for the AAF.
If it bleeds, it leads. How does that work when you're talking about maybe being broke?
Well, if something is bad, it's still good because people are talking about you.
Like,
and that's essentially what we're talking about with the AAF. They couldn't make payroll. They needed $250 million, but they got $250 million. And now we're talking about it.
I feel like I'm in the middle of a Silicon Valley episode.
Doors that open like this, not like this.
like you're just looking for an investor. Well, Charlie Ebersole, maybe he owns an incubator in Northern California. He said, this has been an extraordinary undertaking for us. It's a giant challenge and opportunity. As a startup, you're constantly looking for some peace of mind. When we got out of the first week of games, we saw there was so much interest from investors. And if we had one person who could take care of us for a very long time, that would be great.
I feel like you would, again, like with the payroll issue, I feel like you would have gotten that figured out in the past 2 years that you've been building towards this debut.
Maybe people needed to see the product. Because Dundon said, as a lifelong sports fan and entrepreneur, I've always valued the opportunities generated in the ecosystem of sports and entertainment. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed with the Alliance's stunning growth in stadium and across TV, mobile, and social media in just these first few weeks. I guess. I mean, good for the league. This dude's 47. God, I want to shoot myself in the face. 47. Eh, I got 250 lying around. Let's try this football league thing.
Some people are just on different life paths, Cofield.
Yeah. Mine's a dead end. It's very much a dead end. I will say this. I don't know a whole lot about Dundon, but if he hates Don Cherry as he seems to with the Kane celebration and Don Cherry going at him, then I'm in. What'd you make of that old crusty Canadian going after the Canes because of their post-game celebrations?
Yeah, you sent this over when I was doing my show a little while ago, so I didn't get a...
You didn't see this the last couple
no,
days?
I didn't get a great look at it, no. I saw smatterings on social media, but I didn't get into it.
Hey, Chrissy, you know what? I forgot to ask before the show. See if I know the press box had some Don Cherry audio. See if we can find this. You know what we'll do is we'll take a quickie here. Let's see if we can get the Don Cherry audio. I apologize. We should have had that pulled beforehand. And I thought you were all over the story, but yeah, Don Cherry trying to be, you know, shake the fist of the sun because the Hurricanes are having too much fun.
Cofield and Company will be back in 90 seconds. Keep it here on ESPN Las Vegas. Now it's time to find out what's trending on Cofield and Company.
All right, this one's a couple days old, but it did happen over a holiday weekend. McKinnell's here. It's Cofield. So, yeah, the Hurricanes, Ryan, are doing something they call the Storm Surge. After the game, they line up. They play DJ Khaled's All I Do Is Win. And they celebrate. They skate the length of the ice. They jump in the air, into the boards. The players go crazy. Carolina was a completely dead market, was it not, before this dude bought the team?
Chrissy goes, she took serious offense there. No, I mean,
it's one of the lowest attended teams 100%, of the last 5 100%. Years in the NHL.
They got
it's a dead market.
And they have a Stanley.
It's a dead market. It's so much a dead market that when the guy bought the team, he promised not to make a request to move.
Yeah.
You're a dead market.
Nice, Chrissy.
I feel like that.
And the real unfortunate thing there is that this team has a Stanley Cup to their resume, right? So there's no exaggeration there. They've won a Stanley Cup, yet they still can't get people in the arena. They're trying to show some character. Not only do they do the general post-game celebration with the all I do is win. Now, I was aware of that. Apparently, they've been doing themed celebrations, too, and that's the most recent one, and right. I guess the one that really ticked off Don Cherry, they did a spring training theme celebration where they all went out into the center of the ice and feigned a home run pitch and a whole celebration, which prompted Don Cherry to completely lose his mind. And, Steve, I guess you can tell the listeners, but I'm caught up now.
I called them jerks, said it's a joke.
Multiple times he called them jerks.
Young men expressing themselves for the joy of winning. You don't do this thing in men's professional hockey.
I don't even know what to say to that. First of all, Don...
Oh, my God. How much must Don Cherry hate all of the stuff before and during VGK games?
Well, right. We'll get him on the air. We'll ask him. Let's get him on the show this week. We'll ask him that question. No, this is the same Don Cherry that is the thing that he is known most for, at least in America. I can't speak for Canada, but in America, which I would venture to guess it's the same as Canada. The thing he's most known for is being a flashy, celebratory, fun type guy. Mm-hmm. The guy is a pinwheel. Like he wears the craziest outfits, clashing. Yeah,
the ultimate me guy.
100%.
But when other fan or folks enjoy themselves, that's selfish.
And you know what? Like, I really feel, and I went back and I listened to it, it feels like he's really stretching, like he's trying to find something to be upset about, because he just resorts to essentially name-calling. Like, he's calling them jerks. Like, you can call them a lot of things.
Well, and I think the Hurricanes have done something brilliant out of this. They have made a t-shirt that says, taking his rant. And
you can
buy a Bunch of Jerks t-shirt now with the Canes colors,
well,
the Canes logo.
Well, you should totally own it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
good for the Hurricanes,
yeah,
I think.
If you're the Hurricanes, absolutely own it. I totally give a tip of cap to them. But for Don Cherry to sit there and to, like I said, to get personal, to just like straight up call them jerks and question their motivations as professional hockey players, it's really hacky. And I guess from a guy who is best known for flashy suits, maybe that doesn't come as a surprise to people, but he's still a professional broadcaster, Hall of Fame level broadcaster, coming out and really just, like I said, searching for something. Like, you call them the shaking the fist at the sky guy. Like, it goes beyond that, because I feel like, you know, shake your fist at the sky guy, at least they have some real genuine venom that when they're spitting, I don't agree with it. It seems salty and old and all those things, but I understand at least on some level where they're coming from. I can find no common ground with Don Cherry. I have no idea what he's complaining about.
I'm actually a little insulted along the Cherry lines. I'm annoyed with Carolina for stealing essentially what is our show motto. Bunch of jerks. That should have been our t-shirt.
Ooh,
no.
When are our t-shirts coming, Lotus Broadcasting?
We're the highest weighted show in the nation. That is definitely the best.
We can have multiple
That's true.
Names for the show. That's true. We are a bunch of jerks. Speaking of, well, I don't think he's a jerk. You do. Last night's Lightning game, how disappointed were you when you clicked on, hey, here's a video of Pierre McGuire and the puck didn't hit him right in the face?
Listen, I like that. You actually sent a tweet at me last night and said, I bet Ryan McKinnell was rooting for the puck. You know, surprisingly, Steve, I actually wasn't rooting for the puck. I feel like the video was enough. I feel like, first of all, I don't wish pain. And if that puck would have connected with Pierre McGuire's small little pea-sized head, who knows what sort of damage it would have done. It could have wrecked his career forever. I don't know if he would have been able to go on television with a scarred mug. So I don't want the man's future, you know, called into question. I'd like to think that Pierre McGuire is enough of a hockey guy, as we went into his long, extensive resume of being a scout for a year and being a bench coach for another year before he transitioned to television. I would like to think that he got the message from the hockey gods that he kind of overstepped his bounds with the Schofield issue about a month ago, and that this was the hockey gods in the hockey world riding the ship and giving a little tip of the cap to Pierre to say, hey, buddy, we saw you. Watch your words. We don't play like that.
Next time
the puck is coming for your nose.
What was the issue?
Well,
everyone listens to the show. Not everyone is a hockey fan.
Right. So, forgive me because I'm going to not get her entire name right. Caitlin, it's a hyphen, right? Caitlin Schofield, Olympian. A woman's gold medalist Olympian had done she joined Pierre McGuire for pregame festivities on an NHL Wednesday night national show. And prior to the game, when they were doing their pregame festivities, she was paired alongside McGuire, and McGuire was very condescending and essentially had said that, we're not paying you to be a fan tonight, so make sure you're on your best behavior, and Tampa Bay shoots on this side of the ice, and Pittsburgh shoots on this side of the ice. He was essentially explaining the game of hockey to a gold freaking medalist, and obviously it rubbed people the wrong way.
Yes. Also trending, well, it's not here yet, but the trade deadline in the NHL is coming up on Monday. So, one of my favorite guys out there, Puck Daddy, or as he likes to be called at ESPN by his real name, Greg Wyshynski, wrote a story about the 20 most lopsided deadline trade deals in NHL history. This is amazing. Number 15 in NHL history of bad deadline deals, according to Puck Daddy, is last year's deal with the Knights trading away Tomas Tatar. It's already one of the 15 worst deals in the history of the league at the deadline.
I want to put this in context, right?
Is it a little early for that? Can we?
If it's top 15 right now, Steve, think about this. If it's top 15 right now, that means in 10 years it's going to be top 5. And that means, let's look at this fairly, in 20 years it could be top 3, because you're talking about, there's no grace period. First of all, the Vegas Golden Knights went to the Stanley Cup last year, right? So it was one of the most improbable stories in the history of sports, yet you're still saying one of the moves that was made right before they made that run is one of the all-time largest gaffes in the history of the league. So the fact that Wyshynski gave no buffer period, the fact that he essentially, you know, there was no tip of the cap to time, right? He immediately acknowledged that it was a terrible move, and it was a terrible move, and it's going to be forever remembered as a terrible move, and there's nothing Vegas can do about it.
Well, they did spin it essentially into patches.
Yeah.
So is Tatar, and as it turns out, 3 picks? There's no way Pacioretty can justify that?
No. No, okay. Because, I mean, for that type of haul, First of all, you got to look at what you gave up to get Tatar, which was multiple picks. And so you say Tatar and then three picks, a couple first rounders. Nick Suzuki was in there. I'd like to think with that type of haul, you could land a perennial 35-40 goal scorer. Like, Max Pacioretty isn't even a 30 goal scorer. He can score 30 goals, and he's got one of the quickest shots in the NHL, but he is not, he's definitely not a Connor McDavid. He is definitely not a Nikita Kucherov. He's not a top 10, top level guy, and that's essentially what the Golden Knights had to get up to get him, or had to give up to get him. So, no, I think in hindsight, I would much rather have the picks in the future and everything all considered.
All right. I guess Wyshynski got us talking about it, so I don't totally agree with it. But and Tatar's been solid this year, right? What, 18 goals, yeah. 25 assists. So, I mean, I was when I saw the story, I was expecting to click on Tatar, and, you know, he's like he's top five in the league in scoring. Like, relax, it's not done yet. I believe in patches. Hey. By the way, you have any idea what the worst deal according to ESPN.com? The worst deal at deadline time was in the history of the NHL.
I feel like it would have to be an old deal.
Said 1996.
Okay.
When the Penguins traded Marcus Naslin to the Canucks for a right winger. The right winger played 45 games with the Penguins, had 2 goals and 4 assists. Naslin went on to play 884 games for the Canucks, had 346 goals and 410 assists.
Okay. Yeah, I think he ended up being their captain, too.
Yeah, that's... Okay.
Oops.
That's a bad one.
Yeah, not great in hindsight.
No.
But at least, Steve, there was hindsight. At least there was 25 years almost that you could look back and dissect it. No, Tomas Tatar was like, no, that was terrible, and that was like 8 months ago, but it was very, very bad.
McKinnell's energy level is through the roof, so let's see if he'll keep flying high, even though it's an enemy of the Golden Knights. What'd you think last night of Joe Thornton turning in a hat trick?
No,
first
no.
hat trick in what's that?
I say no. I think you missed. Well, first of all, you were going to say the first hat trick in 8 seasons, right? That's where you were going with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I was going to say
first hat trick since 2010.
Okay. So you said it's an enemy. There's some truth to that. I don't like the Sharks in any capacity, whether I'm wearing my Blackhawks hat or my Vegas Golden Knights hat, right? But I'm team old guy. I got a lot of gray in my beard. Joe Thornton's got a lot of gray in his beard. And you know what? The reason I don't care how this rubs people. I don't care because it's my money and it's my time. The reason I got season tickets to the Vegas Golden Knights because I'm a hockey fan. I wasn't expecting to go last season and seeing a team that was eventually going to play in the Stanley Cup. That wasn't even, I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. My idea was that I was going to check out some games. I was going to see Marc-Andre Fleury, which was great when we got him in the expansion draft. And then I was going to see the talent across the league. I was going to see legends like Crosby and Ovechkin. And I was going to see up-and-comers like Kucherov and McDavid and everybody in between. It was going to be an exciting time, right? Part of that was guys like Joe Thornton. I am an NHL fan, so I was ecstatic for a guy like Joe Thornton. Number one, because I'm an NHL fan, and number two, because I'm an old guy. And who doesn't like seeing old guys do cool things?
You're an old guy. You're an old guy by hockey standards.
Yes.
You're not an old guy.
Right, right.
Last piece, maybe I'll have something else that's trending. Last piece of trending news. Did you see the video I sent you? We'll have to send this out. Trevor Lawrence, apparently, I don't know why he's playing freaking rec or intramural basketball at Clemson. You know, he's the 6'5 quarterback. I mean, I try to recruit him onto my team. He's 6'5, right? Is he a jerk, or did you like what he did to some marshmallow who looked like he was about 5'10 trying to set a pick in the backcourt on Trevor Lawrence?
He looked like me.
Did he have the Umbros on from the Chris Webber basketball camp?
That's so great. I'm glad you remember that. I need to send that picture out one day. No, he was not wearing Umbros. But listen, you're Trevor Lawrence. Not only are you the most famous person on that campus, you are arguably the most recognizable amateur athlete in American sports right now.
Right.
I mean, the idea that you would, first of all, this was a full court. You're trying to draw a charge on the other end of the court. You're not even in the offensive zone. You're standing in front of a guy who just won the national title, who's eventually going to be worth about $100 million, and you're trying to get in his way. No, I absolutely loved what Trevor Lawrence did.
Well, then he shouldn't be playing. Well, we can't play by the same rules we normally do.
Who sets?
And you're watching picks. Trevor Lawrence. He's basically using a forearm shiver to push the guy off. That's a charge. Call it, ref. I don't care if he's got an NFL future or he's big man on campus at Clemson.
No,
don't play hoops then.
No, I say call it. I'm totally okay with calling the foul, but I'm also okay with Trevor Lawrence deboing that fatty down onto the hardwood. Like, get out of my way, dummy. This is an exhibition game, and I'm Trevor Lawrence. The kid, like, stood in front of him like, check it, bro, I'm going to set you in. I'm picking you. Like, it was like, what are you doing? You're setting a pick on Trevor Lawrence on the entire other end of the court.
Good fundamental basketball. Sure. If Trevor Lawrence doesn't want to play to win and by the rules, then go back to your dorm,
bro. You caught the Lambeer elbow to the throat.
He did. Can you imagine if Trevor Lawrence got hurt in that situation? I think that's an instant transfer for the guy setting the pick.
Oh, yeah. Fatty's out. No more Clemson for Fatty. He's done.
Totally screwed. Oh, we got to get to Antonio Brown in what's trending. So AB said he and the Steelers met, and it was a good meeting. They cleared the air, but they both agree, both sides, that it's time to move on. Do you believe that's what happened?
Yeah. I mean, in what context? Yes, I believe in that particular meeting with Rooney that they could come to terms, that they realized they were in a difficult spot. And the Rooneys, by a large measure, have always been loyal and have always been honest. And I have a lot of respect for that entire family. So, I'd like to believe at least that part of it is true and down the middle for about as much as we can expect from this franchise.
AB said, had a great meeting with Mr. Rooney today. We discussed a lot of things, cleared the air on several issues. We both agreed that it is time to move on, but I always have appreciation and gratitude towards the Rooney family. He then went to Instagram and I think did about an 11-minute rant speech on where he is right now. Chrissy, did we pull a portion of that? Because I think he was basically making a pitch to the fans to get him onto another team.
If your squad out there want to win, and your squad want a hungry wide receiver who the best in the whole world, someone hit my phone. Tell him I ain't doing no unguarantees. I ain't even going to play myself no more for this NFL, you heard? I think I done everything. What y'all think? What left for me to do? Win the Super Bowl?
Okay.
It was an odd 11 minutes.
Guys, he was on the elliptical. He was working out. So it was in between breaths, deep breathing.
It was strange. Also, bless his heart. I felt bad.
He also looks insane right now.
Yes.
He also looks like he's been on like a month crack bender. And
I will send it out on our social media, but
yes.
But what is wrong with AB?
Is that a different version of virtue signaling? Like, hey, everybody, look, man, I'm unhappy right now, but I am working out. I'm sweating. He's totally out of breath. He got the echo effect, like he's friggin' Lou Gehrig saying goodbye to the NFL.
Nice. The worst part of it, like when I watched it, I was like, man, that's a bad look. Like, I didn't like anything about like watching it because the visual we talked about. AB, he's just got a very funky visual going on right now. It's cool. It's like, do you, AB? I've always loved eccentric wide receivers. Full disclosure, whether it be Michael Irvin on the sideline or Terrell Owens or Deion Sanders on the other side of the ball, I like flamboyant. I like a little bit of, you know, character, right? Even for that type of thought, AB's on one right now. So I saw it and I was like, wow, that's an interesting look. Now I'm listening to it. Guys, it was even worse listening to it.
It was hard to listen to.
Yeah.
And I titled it AB Crazy. That's how I titled it. Because I don't know how else to describe it. Like, he's ranting. He says unguaranteed.
Yeah.
I think like 8 times I counted. In the 11 minutes?
It was odd. It was odd. And this whole situation is odd. The Steelers organization is odd. Ben Roethlisberger is odd. Mike Tomlin is odd.
True.
AB is perfectly odd. It's actually kind of unfortunate that he is going to leave, presumably, because this was a team that almost made the playoffs, and they were chaos. Their locker room was chaos personified, and they still were one of the better teams in the NFL. We saw what they did to the Saints. So it's almost unfortunate that this crazy carnival can't continue into the coming seasons, because clearly they can still play a high level of football when they all kind of hate each other. It's really interesting.
Manny Machado to the Padres. Big news of the day. On the way back, we'll get to the Vegas angle on Machado. What paid, at least what the Padres bet payoff offshore, and also the numbers on the boards here around Sin City.
Stick around. Cofield and Company returns in minutes in the Finley Toyota Studios.